Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation cure master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at SurreyFarms.com or VirginiaTraditions.com.
We're knee deep, episode 14, morning after with Jason Colucci, and then we'll go on hiatus. Jack Inslee, I don't know where you're going to be on hiatus, but I will be in Hawaii for 2 weeks.
I'll probably be in Bushwick.
Oh, Bushwick. Yeah. I wanted to talk to you for a couple of minutes because no one hears that voice in there, that sort of the guy that's here 5 days a week. Jack,
you are about to hear live broadcast on HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Well, that's it. I wish there was some better audio on that thing. I wish you made your... I don't know. I wanted more bass in that and that sort of cut in.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Jack, you do a show here during the week, right?
I do, yeah. Full Service Radio is Wednesdays at 6.
And what's that all about?
I have kind of like DJs that I book that I work with. Sometimes live performers, rappers, singers. Kind of a mixed bag. Just the musicians that I work with in my off time. So, always a mixed bag.
Have you ever had Jenna Tari on?
No, I haven't. I'm excited to hear her.
Well, this is an exclusive here. I mean, not exclusive in the sense of they've performed before, but exclusive to the Heritage Radio Network. I'm really excited. But, Jack, your title here for the station is exactly what?
They call me executive producer. It sounds pretty cool, so I stick with it. But I produce, engineer, well, you know, engineer mostly, and oversee the 28 shows a week we have here. And, you know... Keep the sponsors happy, keep everything running, keep the website functioning.
And you're an NYU guy. You graduated. You met the Patrick Martins. And this whole station kind of came about. It was sort of his brainchild with a bunch of different people. And you've been here since day one.
That's right.
And what other than the morning after coming to the station, what are some of the really highlights of the past couple of years?
Morning after, man. I don't know if anything compares, but... you know, it's always fun here, man. The guests are always fun. Beer sessions is always a blast. You know, I never got free beer here until they came along, so I'd say that was a pivotal point for me.
But you do get a free margarita pizza.
Not anymore, really. Those days are gone.
There's a lot of berets in the studio. I thought I said, oh, you're just going, oh, hey, that's my girlfriend. Hey, Bennett, how's it going? So other than that, Jack, what are we looking for in 2012? That's the year, guys, right?
Is that what we're looking for millions of listeners and nothing short of that.
And I think this is the year. I think this is sort of the Malcolm Gladwell tipping point. Whatever you want to call it. I think next year is the year for the station. And do you like people to listen to on the iTunes end of it or through the network? Because I'm kind of – it goes back and forth. What are your thoughts? My thoughts are for people to download if they're, you know, restaurant people, that they're in transit in the morning or they're in a kitchen. It's good for them to have it on their sort of iPhone.
You know, that's why we make sure to say Heritage Radio Network all the time during the shows, because if you do catch it in iTunes, then it's really the same difference, you know. I don't really mind one way. Whatever's easier for the person. I know sometimes a podcast just gets to you automatically. I think that's fine.
And anything the general public can help with the station. I don't know if we take necessarily. We're kind of like an NPR kind of a thing where
we'll take donations. Sure.
And where should we send those?
That's info@heritageradionetwork.com.
Well, thanks, Jack. Thanks. I really want to appreciate it. It's been a pleasure working with you for the past 3 months and looking for 2012. You work hard, and I just want you to know my 50 call-ins and 25 guests and stuff. I really appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. Show is awesome.
Here we are. Morning after. You know, it's been a crazy year for me. You know, I could talk about it more in 2012, but I've had a lot of stuff happen over this year. I met my girlfriend this year, Bennett Jaslik, and I don't know. I'm an old guy. I'm 32 years old. I'm extremely happy to kind of finally get to a point in my life where things kind of seem in that category seem together. I got the show. I was a guest on Patrick Martin's show, the main course. And I did that a bunch of times, and then he asked me to do, like, the Joan Rivers thing in the month of August to sort of, like, fill in as his guest host, as co-host, too. Patrick was there, and then the whole Morning After thing came about. And I have to really say, with help of Jesse Kiefer, with Jack, with everyone, Bennett helps out, with everyone that's been, you know, we've got to the sort of, I mean, if you follow the Google Analytics and stuff, we're one of the higher-rated shows. Not that it's a competition here. well, in my head it is. But it's been a successful show in the past 3 months. And there's a lot of people that have been a part of that. And I really want to thank everyone that's been listening and emailing me and asking me for questions. Please, anything you want to hear, I will totally put on. Any chef that you want to talk to, from, you know, Nate Appleman to Ronald McDonald, let me know, you know, straight up in an email. But our first guest, we're gonna get serious right now with the Morning After. I was home. Aaron, what was it? 2 weeks ago, you guys did that was a week ago, last Thursday, or.
The telethon.
I didn't want to say telethon because it.
Yeah, that was just. It was a nonstop day of giving, and it was actually just a couple days ago. It was Thursday.
It was Aaron Hoover from City Harvest. Aaron, what is your official title over there?
I'm the associate director of communications.
And I came home from work, and it was about 5:36, and it was pretty, you know, just usual thing. And then NBC was really pushing hard for City Harvest, which they should, but it was going on for a long time. And then I had emailed you that day, but this was probably weeks in the planning, and then the entire day seemed like a 24-hour day. What exactly were you guys doing other than the obvious stuff of donations?
Yeah, we were working on it pretty much all fall. It was a partnership between NBC for New York, WOR Radio, and WBLS. They provided content all day, City Harvest-related content, and really pushing everyone to give to City Harvest via an 800 number.
And did you guys, I mean, that is that going to go NBC National? Was that sort of a New York affiliate?
It was just New York. It was, I don't know if you're familiar with New York Nonstop. It's sort of like NBC's version of New York One.
Okay, and that's on regular Channel 4, or is that like an app or something?
It's 161 on Time Warner Cable.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
But NBC 4, we were also on, I believe, between 3 and 4. So it was all of the New York NBC stations who were promoting us, and then WOR and WBLS.
We always play a tennis match with when we talk about how it's the best way for people to donate, and people, you know, in January, you know, the years are over, everyone, you know, who is working has spent a lot of money, and then they forget about stuff until, you know, the spring or whatever. But, you know, right now, and even in January, I think people's lives are so cluttered with things that they want to do the right thing, but they need an easy outlet. What are the, say, one or two easiest ways for somebody to contribute from in the restaurant world and in the private sector?
Well, we run a lot of food drives around this time of year. Actually, I want to call out two of them. A couple of weeks ago, we picked up at Colicchio & Sons. Tom had done a food drive for us, collected 5,000 pounds of food, which is really, really special. And this week, actually, we're picking up from Red Rooster. So those are examples of restaurants that have run food drives for us, aside from, you know, the normal food donating that they do. In terms of what we need right now, this is our busiest fundraising season, and the last week of the year is just so busy in terms of the money we need to bring in. So if you are making that gift, that end-of-the-year gift, please remember City Harvest at this time, I would say. Don't let it go. Don't say, I'll do it later. We have what I would call a hunger crisis in New York right now, and City Harvest can really use everyone's support, whether that's $5 or $10 or $500.
And they can, general public can call in and do.
Yeah, you can call 917-351-8700, or you can go to cityharvest.org to make your donation.
What's like one thing over the past year that you see it all, and you kind of, you know, like any other business or non-NPO or something, you kind of get desensitized to it. You need to have that vision. Where that vision comes from, your boss or whoever it might be, or just the organization as a whole. Is there something this year that is not sort of an Oscar moment teardropper, but is there something that you noticed this year that really makes you come in here on your day off and, you know, promote it? Because technically it's your day off, and, you know, you have a ton of stuff going on, but whether it was a donation or something you saw that you Can you talk about that?
Sure. I mean, I'm out at soup kitchens and food pantries where we deliver food with some frequency, and that's not a place that a lot of New Yorkers really necessarily go unless they are going to get food. And I've had the privilege of meeting people who are just trying to put food on the table for their families and finding that hard, and there's a lot of shame with that. But these are also people who are facing things like obesity and diabetes and health issues as a result of eating irregularly or buying cheap food that's not necessarily good for you. Meeting those people and putting faces to that, you know, we hear about obesity and we hear about diabetes and we hear about hunger, but actually putting a face to it, that's something I've been able to do, and I'm grateful to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, bringing up that point, you know, Patrick Martins, and I brought this up on the last show, had spoken about heritage turkeys and the idea of bringing that to the public, and the idea that, say, you know, it costs $2 or $3 more a pound, and then people, you know, in the general public would say, well, you know, why we can get more turkeys if we buy the cheaper ones to more people. But, you know, that's the whole, it's not really the point. The point is, you know, this nutritious food costs a little more, and unfortunately that's the state we work in. And why aren't people who are less fortunate able to have access to that food? Because, you know, that can cut into healthcare costs and stuff like that. But the general idea is that, you know, a higher food ticket item, everyone should be, have access to it.
Right, and we really put a priority at City Harvest on fresh food. 60% of what we rescue and deliver is produce. We also concentrate on low-fat dairy, low-fat meat, and also teaching people how to prepare meals using the food that we give them. So, it's really trying to help the whole family and in terms of them being able to put good food on the table.
Are you from, I forget from Orleans, are you from Philly? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. What are you doing? Are you getting on a plane, or what are you doing this holiday season?
I will be on the 510 train on Friday night to Harrisburg.
Amtrak?
Yeah, that's a fun train. It's often, you know, standing, a lot of package carrying, a lot of people being pushy, but also holiday and cheery, and yeah, it should be a fun ride.
Trains are kind of glamorous in their own kind of weird way. I wish that the U.S. would sort of redo the entire, I know we talk about this all the time, but it would cut down on, you know, costs of everything, and people can get from, you know, from New York to D.C. in 2 hours. I know that we have the Accela, but anyone that's taken the Accela, it only really shaves 45 minutes off of, you know, going to Boston or D.C. So when you get home, what's, like, the one thing that, like, that you're going to have, whether it's on Christmas or you smell, I don't know, chestnuts roasting somewhere? I mean, but is there something specific that when you go home, it makes you feel at home? In the Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever you want to call it.
Well, we bake a lot of cookies at my house, at my parents' house. And so I'm going to be involved in baking cookies probably that Friday night. Probably I'm going to get home. It'll be like 10 at night, and I'll start mixing up cookies.
What kind of cookies? I want to know.
There's some recipe my mother found for some sort of Greek orange twist cookies.
Greek orange?
Yeah. They're like orange flavored.
What's your background? Greek. What's your heritage?
I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm actually German. Yeah, I'm like those people who came in like the 1760s.
That's, no, that was and migrated over there. Well, Aaron, always thank you. And we had spoken last time about City Harvest coming in here at least once a month to the Morning After just to kind of talk. What's the right thing to do? And I want to thank you for coming on your day off. I know you're a little bit under the weather. Have a great holiday. Please come back in January and we'll talk some more. You're more than welcome to hang out. We're going to take a break and we're going to go into our next segment from Momo's Sushi Chat.
You know, one of the things, the cool things about doing a radio show is everyone wants to hang out afterwards, and after the show. And normally the morning after gets stuck with that tab, which is fine. But one place that we have to, always comes up is Momo Sushi Shack. And Jesse Kiefer brought it up a few weeks ago and said there's this, what we like to say in the food world, righteous guy named Phil Gilmore who runs this place next door. And then I'm like, all right, so let's go. And then the show ends at 4, and I think you guys open
at 6.
At 6, so we always try to stick around, and then we either get too drunk or something. It gets dark here, and then you just kind of like, you got to call in Bushwick Cars, and I'm waiting. And then, so finally, you're here, and I know you're sort of a fixture to the Heritage Radio Network community. And I wanted to thank you for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure, man.
We were kind of going back and forth on sushi places. You know, I had worked with the Nobu crew for a long time, but you have an interesting, when I think of, there's a documentary coming up called Hero Dreams of Sushi.
Yeah.
Right now. And that's sort of the traditional thing when you think of a sushi place.
Yeah.
How did you end up opening a place in this neighborhood, a sushi restaurant?
Well, I've been in New York for 12 years and I've basically only lived in Bushwick. So, and I've worked in restaurants for 25 years and I've always wanted to open a restaurant, obviously. So, I helped, I was one of the waiters here when Roberta's first opened up and known the owners for a long time and saw their success. And it's a no-brainer, this neighborhood, 2 years ago when I signed the lease. So, and when I got the, when we signed the lease, I'd been working at Bozu, the Japanese restaurant in Williamsburg, for about 3 years.
The other place.
No, it's good though because, the thing was I was going to be working there when I was building this place, so I said, I should just do Japanese, and the owner of that place, Makoto Suzuki, became my business partner.
Oh, that's great. The thing about sushi is when you're sort of an apprentice or a sous chef in the American term or a French term, they always say, when I was at Nobu, the serious guys would say, we made rice.
Yeah.
All we had to do, we cooked rice for the first year. That's all we did. We couldn't touch anything.
My sushi chef did it for 3 years.
Yeah, and when you get more and more serious.
He only cooked rice for 3 years.
And that's a make or, would you say that is a make or break kind of thing? Because it's a foundation of most stuff? Or is that just sort of like a hazing thing? Or does it take that long?
I think, I don't think it's necessary to do it for 3 years, but it shows your dedication, I guess. Because the whole time you're making rice, peripherally you're seeing what the masters are doing.
Yeah.
I've never actually been a chef. I've never cooked in a kitchen, but I've worked in restaurants for 25 years. And
where'd you start at? Well, 25 years. What is it? What is that?
I started working.
Where are you from originally?
South Florida.
So that's a service industry town. So.
Yeah. So when I was 14, I started working at Little Mermaid Seafood, making, crab sandwiches and stuff.
That's awesome.
And that's, I've worked in restaurants ever since. But the thing is that I've worked a little bit in a kitchen here and there. But the thing is that one time there's this girlfriend of mine, I said, I'll cook you anything you want for breakfast. And she said, can you make Eggs Benedict? And I had never made Eggs Benedict. And I just sat there and I kind of looked like a robot thinking. And I said, yeah, I can make Eggs Benedict. I can make hollandaise sauce. I'd never tried it before, but I'd seen it done so many times. So, I know how to do it.
So you're in South Florida. How do you migrate to New York?
Via Los Angeles, San Francisco, Rome, Amsterdam,
Atlanta. Were you touring with Fish at that time?
Yeah, me and Modest Yahoo.
who just shaved his head, by the way.
Really?
He doesn't look anything like him. I mean, if he was walking in Williamsburg right now, he would just,
he would
be
look like
out.
He used to.
He would look like, somebody would hand him a 10 speed. He wouldn't look like anyone else. No, but you got to New York. Was it when you first moved to the Bushwick, this area?
Yeah, 12 years ago.
And what restaurant?
My first job, oddly enough. Well, I was biding my time, and I worked at John's Pizza in Lincoln Center for about a month.
Which is huge. I mean, that's a volume. Yeah.
Yeah, but, first month in New York. And then after that, I got a job at Diner. That was my first job.
Which, a lot of people don't even talk about Diner anymore. But Diner was like a landmark restaurant in Williamsburg. And just in general, it doesn't get brought up as much as it should.
Yeah.
Williamsburg was a neighborhood that was changing. But Diner, when you were there, it's still... it's still a great restaurant, but
Where you work for what group now? Balthazar Group, right?
Well, yeah.
You know the owners of Diner.
Yeah, those guys.
Used to work in
there. Yeah, everyone came from Keith McNally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like three or four people that were in New York, and especially if you worked in the 80s or early 90s. And, you know, they spread the seeds of, you know, all the new restaurants.
Also, Colin from Dresler and Dumont.
You know, it's funny. It's like the you know, the Kevin Bacon game, except, you know, it's I mean, could you talk Diner? I mean, because that's... What was that like at that place? Because I'm fascinated by
it. Oh, back then it was
wild, right? I mean,
it was also like back then it was a tight knit group because there wasn't a lot of people around here. There was no restaurants. That was the only cool restaurant in Williamsburg besides maybe like Peter Luger's, you know. No. Not that that's cool, but you know, it was a time and a place. It was the beginning of Williamsburg, in my opinion.
Do you frown on people that order sashimi?
Do I frown?
I mean, is that like a, like, is sushi and sashimi, but I feel like sometimes if I sit at the sushi bar and I order sashimi, I feel like it's the loophole or something.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. It makes me happy because
it's less, right? You know, it's the same price, but it's less, less thing. And I was looking at your menu. There's a lot of like out of the box, but just different stuff.
You got to see the special menu though, because I mean, our regular menu is great, but we do crazy stuff.
That's what Jesse was telling me. She said you sit down and, you know, you come in and it's just... It's fun because it harkens on this, like, you know, it's a sushi restaurant, but then there's a family kind of environment where a lot of sushi places tend to have a cold end, even though the service, like if you go to Jubaco or something like that, the service is really good, but it seems kind of cold.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the fun thing is that, you know, we definitely take our food very seriously, you know, but, you know, I sometimes people come in and they take the food a little too seriously.
Yeah.
And they start, you know, it'll be noisy or it'll be, you know, this or that or the other. And they'll, you know, the rice will be a little too warm or a little bit too cold. And they'll be, and like, seriously, I don't
ever... People come in and say something. Can you give them if you call me, and I'll come and just point them out. I'll talk to them when they...
No. And like, you know, like, I kind of, like, try to be diplomatic and it gets to the point. So sometimes I'm like, we are in fucking Bushwick. You know, I've literally said the words. I don't want to be crass and I don't want to be rude to any of my guests. I want, you know, I'm in the service industry, but I say, we are across the street from Boar's Head. You know, you know, it's like,
everyone's like the gold standard of Boar's Head. It's Boar's Head's in Florida too, right?
Boar's Head's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when you were a kid and like,
but Boar's, you know, the international, that's like the
station is
that
right,
is
there.
Right there. That's
right next
the big
door.
One. Yeah.
You just make the left, but and how business is
it's
amazing.
It's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you guys open for lunch?
Yeah, from noon to 3:30.
And delivery?
No, never.
Is that because of like the traveling thing?
I have a very small kitchen, and
you couldn't handle it. I mean, in terms of volume and stuff. And if so, reservations. What
we do reservations for like tasting menus.
Okay, and what number should they call?
718-418-6666.
And your operating hours Monday through Sunday, is it the same?
It's six. We open at 6 for dinner, and we are open 11 o'clock, and then Friday and Saturday until midnight.
You said you were going to stay in studio for the entire thing because we have a hip hop group here, and you said you wanted to do a beatbox or something.
No, sorry.
That's really good. That's really good. Guys, can you introduce yourselves?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, we're going to pick the mic, some volume up on your mic.
Well, here
we go.
Let's get this bad boy closer.
Let
me get to know her. I'm Jen Telek, and I'm one half of Genitari, and this is my counterpart.
My name is Peter Park. Peter Park Her. I'm one quarter of the music group, GenitariMusicGroup.com.
Our other quarter couldn't make it because it's actually a python.
We're going to call her in.
And but, you know, we know each other kind of, right? In a sense? Do we know each other?
I know you, Jason. I mean, well, you know me.
Well, we knew... exactly.
Can we shout out Sean?
Yeah, please. No.
I want to shout out Sean Scottese, Ghost Street Restaurant Group coming up.
Opening question mark?
2013.
Soon.
Yes, when The Hobbit opens, that's when a restaurant. we were talking. We knew each other. You used to work for my house, MAI.
Yeah, Myriad Restaurant Group.
And Phil, this is the whole Nobu thing. I worked in the bowels of Tribeca Grill for about 4 years with the gentleman, Tim Van Hollig. And the thing about the Myriad Group with Drew Neaporn is everything kind of operationally is run from the basement of Tribeca Grill. Yeah. Nobu's kind of like graduated and become its own thing. But in the beginning, when I was there, we were doing a lot of work with them. And my house, which was with Michael Bao, opened up. And these kids would come.
to my office at like 4:45 on a Friday when I was like ready to shoot out and be like,
"Hey, man."
Yeah, I said, "Can you do it?" Yeah,
I was like, "Hey, can I get some ice, man?"
Wang sent us over to get ice.
Yeah, Wang told me I could get ice from you. What are you, Jason?
Yeah, and I'd be like, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" And like, I'm ready to walk out the door at 5 o'clock, and then we, you know, be a party or something. But you know, strangely enough, through the producing stylings of Jesse Kiefer, who we're actually going to interview today, who's done an amazing job here for The Morning After. We're going to go into a break, but Jack, hold off on the music, because I want these guys to do one of their songs. All
right.
Possibly. But so we're going to have to, everyone in the audience, all 10,000 strong, please relax. We have to do some logistical stuff. We have to balance out the volume on everybody. You guys have your, this is it, right?
Yeah, man,
okay,
yeah,
so
just get that track ready. I'm ready.
All right, we have to get your... yes, for this, yeah, let's do that. Okay, hold on 1 second here. Let me pull up the Pro Tools Suite 10.0.
Logic Studio.
Plug.
Okay, we're in here. So, guys, can you pull up...
I think it's queued up here.
All right, so everyone here listening, we're going to go out on this track here from Genitari, and then we're going to come back with our next guest, 86list.com, and then we're going to interview Jesse Kiefer. Ready to go?
Go for it.
Let's do it.
Old school, new school, everybody hate. Trying to tell an MC how to dominate. We got beats, that's pressure, no pressure. But we all rub, believe we're gonna get ya. Jab on pretty people, I'm a lunatic. Got juice in my boots, that's clock tick tick. Fuck your cock, we flowing in the club. The bass is growing, all the ladies, they be jumping in my bed.
What's that?
Penthouse party raging. Let the tiger out the cage. And black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian, do the man.
Yeah.
They're my drinky on the ice. Tell my homies to be nice, cause the night you coming twice to my party. We bounce like ping pong posse. Run shit backwards like Chris Rossi. Cause you know I like to party with my friends.
Bushwick. Good morning. Good morning, after. How you doing?
Snap, clap, dynamite.
I got a tattoo.
Snap, clap, dynamite.
And my body.
Snap, clap, dynamite.
And a shouting.
Snap, clap, dynamite.
To my
lip. Snap, clap, dynamite. Come on, boom.
Let's
go, clap, dynamite. Come
feeling
on,
good.
Snap, clap, dynamite.
I need some Advil.
Snap, clap, dynamite.
No, I'm serious.
Boom, snap, clap, dynamite.
I really need like 3 Advil.
Boom, snap, clap, dynamite. Boom, snap, clap, dynamite. Boom, snap, clap, dynamite. Yo, 1983, chapter 1 begins. You know I'm 7 months old, throwing parties with my friends. Boom, snap, clap, throwing bubbles back. Rocking grandma's a flash on a loop track. Run that shit back, groove like you wanna groove. But there's one thing, that's how you wanna move.
Tell how you dance.
If you're lucky, I'ma show you. Call up on my friends and I lay, let's go.
Yeah, snap that dynamite.
Right.
She the kind of girl that I know I like.
Yeah.
Jenna T and his mother having party. Make them all wanna bite. Yeah, and I hate it with your teeth dry. She gon' bag the chicken and creep that. Yeah, let them know where the freaks
at.
Y'all out at night, who's sleeping?
Oh, that's better, I got that Advil now.
Snap that dynamite.
Boom, snap, clap, dynamite.
Just crush that up and put it into a 2% mill.
Boom, snap, clap, dynamite. It go
happy brunch.
Snap, clap, dynamite. Boom, snap, clap, dynamite. It go boom, snap, clap, dynamite. Come
Genitari.
On.
Yeah, yeah.
Peter
yeah.
Parker.
Hey, hey, hey.
We in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah.
But we like it.
Hey, hey.
That's right.
Boom,
snap, clap, dynamite. It go boom, snap, clap, dynamite. Boom, snap, clap, dynamite.
Here we go, this is dance break.
Put your hands together, put your knees together. Put your hands together, put your knees together. Go hands together, put your knees together. Go hands together, put your knees together.
Go, 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 go. Genitive. Neighbors, what's good? Peter Parker.
That's a joint, and we out.
Boom,
snap, clap, dynamite. Boom, boom,
snap. You're looking out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be here at Carnegie Hall.
Wow, look at all these friendly faces.
Oh, wow, that was awesome. Kiefer, come in the studio here, Jess. Wow, that was awesome. Thanks, guys. Are we going to do another track?
Sure.
That was actually, I really do like the morning after work in there, the 2 Advil or 3 Advil. Usually it's Telepam. We're going to go into 86list.com. Laura Wirtz, are you there?
I'm here.
Laura, we're at 86list.com. Hot job of the week. Laura, what's going on in the city? This economy is really bad. You can be laid off at any minute, but what's going on in the world?
All right, well, I think I have a couple jobs out there.
Holla.
This week's hot jobs, actually jobs, come from Daniel Ballou's Dynex Group. He is looking for both savory and pastry cooks of all levels of experience at all of their restaurants. That includes Restaurant Danielle, Cafe Balloud, DB Bistro, Bar Balloud, DBGB, Balloud Food, and a Pizzeria.
What, a clean house over there? That's awesome.
Well,
it's that busy, I feel like, in New York City restaurants. Wait, what? And is that what's the other job? Or is that everything?
Well, that's a lot of stuff.
And who, Laura, we don't ever get to talk anymore. I feel like we're only on for about 45 seconds.
I know.
86list.com, 86list.com. Follow you guys on Twitter. But can you talk about your service?
Absolutely.
That was my hip hop right there.
86list.com is a website that we created for New York City restaurant and hospitality individuals and restaurants. We're looking to create a community for the people that are looking for jobs and the people that are hiring them, and just in general, build a community so that everyone can reach out and talk to each other in the industry. It is New York City specific. We also do upstate and Long Island and some New Jersey, but we're really trying to create a local community online.
Yeah, but I would hate to limit it to New York, because you guys do everywhere, no? I mean, you kind of growing?
Every once in a while we'll get some jobs on from other cities, but really what we're trying to do is focus on, this city, because it's such a dynamic place to be working.
And are you headed to Pennsylvania? What are you doing for the holidays?
Well, I heard that Aaron goes to Harrisburg. I choose to not take the train. I normally rent a car and drive to Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Wait, you rent it in Brooklyn, though? Isn't it super expensive, or you do a zip car?
Yeah, well, zip car is worse because, it's normally an hourly thing.
Yeah.
I rent a car. It's kind of expensive, but, with my schedule and the people I travel with, my sister's also in the city, it just makes sense for us to rent a car and go down for 3 days. Probably not going home for Christmas this year. I think it may be New Year's Eve.
What about
that weekend?
What about cookies? What's going on in the cookie category? It seems like baking. Is baking huge in Pennsylvania? I mean, I know it is in a sense, but to me, when I think of baking, I think of New England, I think of the South. But Pennsylvania
Well, with my family, half of my family is Italian, so we have a lot of cookies every year.
Strufla? Yeah.
Yeah, we do. You know what? We don't normally do that. Sometimes it's around, but it's not really a tradition in our family. For Christmas,
it's kind of like opium.
There are a lot of cookies, but we also always make, weirdly enough, homemade vanilla ice cream with chocolate sauce.
And do you guys use real Tahitian vanilla beans, or what do you guys do? Are you serious? You have an ice cream maker in your house? Are you serious?
Yeah, we do. We have one of those old-fashioned ones, but it's electric, and it makes, I think, like 10 gallons of ice cream.
I hate those old-fashioned electric things. I like nuclear-powered stuff. It's more modern to me. Laura Words, thanks. 86list.com. Once again, thanks for the year. You're here every Sunday. You call in. I just want to thank you for your commitment, your loyalty to the morning after. And we'll talk to you. We're going on a hiatus for 2 weeks. I will be in Hawaii for those 2 weeks on hiatus, just hanging out. That's what you do when you're on hiatus. You have to go to those exotic places. But thanks again. And talk to you in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Wow, look at that.
All right. Well, and thank you again. We really appreciate you let us get out there on your show. So.
Anytime. 86list.com. Follow them on Twitter. We're going to go right now into the producer of The Morning After, Jesse Kiefer.
Hi, Jason. How you doing?
What's up, kid?
Thanks for
coming in. I know you're under the weather, too.
I don't know. It's going around.
Yeah, we have like a triage here in the this thing with everybody. We met. I know we kind of talked about this a little bit. We met a long time ago when I used to come into Tawar, and we had a connection, if you will, and just in terms of we kind of were friendly in that weird I worked in service, you worked in service.
We liked wine puns together.
Yes. We had the week of wine.
There was the half hour of Honduras Bizarre and.
The fall of Falanghina.
There you go.
These different varietals with things and try to
September
be
of Sciabba.
Really witty. And then we kind of talked about this very huge show that I kind of wanted to do, which, I'll have a lot of time in January to produce something like that. But then you had emailed me and said that you have a huge background in producing in radio, and that was, you studied that in school, and you went to ASU?
Yeah, I went to the Walter Cronkite School. And studied broadcast journalism. I didn't do tons of radio, but I've always loved radio so much. I did a lot more television, but kind of like the raw quality that radio has. And so I'm super excited to be doing this with you right now.
Are you having fun? I mean,
absolutely.
Honestly,
absolutely.
I think it's the best part about doing the show is just what the show is about for a lot of people is just meeting different people. And I try to leave it open to anyone. You know, a lot of the things that we talk about are industry people that are artists, essentially. And what is the one thing you hate if somebody comes to your table and asks you, you know, is this the only thing you do?
I think mostly they say, like, are you still in school? Or, you know, like, so what else do you do? And, you know, I mean, obviously there are other things I do, but I take my restaurant industry job really, really seriously. And it is a career. And it's fantastic. But now doing this with you, it's like such a perfect way to marry like
the two things.
All of my experience in the restaurant industry and then my experience in broadcast. So
Phil, do you have a lot of people that work for you that are actors or do other stuff? And
well, I love my staff so much, and I told them for Christmas I'm going to make a big sign that I hope you fail at all of your dreams, because I don't want anybody to succeed, because then they'll quit. Because you know I have an opera singer, I have a writer, I have somebody that's getting you know two different people working on their PhDs, and you know. And I love them all so much that I want them to fail so they never quit.
No, but there's always been a great marriage, and I think this is sort of the past 10 to 15 years of the golden age of restaurateurs enabling staff to do it. I think in the past it was like coming over cutthroat, and I just think because the it was like anything else, just restaurateurs that had businesses weren't raised and sort of, you know, in a different environment. But they realized that if they allowed people to have time off, that these people would be more loyal to them. Mm. And if they work with their schedules, you know, you'd have a really solid server. And he took the thing serious. And the entire industry is based on, in New York City, is based on people having, you know, other things going on. And you know what? It's not just the art world. You know, it's other things. But Jess, what are you doing? Are you going up to the Cape for?
No, I'm actually going to spend my first Christmas in New York City.
You guys are going to Balthazar? Is it Balthazar?
Yeah, we're going to go to Balthazar for Christmas Eve, and then haven't really worked out Christmas Day, but I think I want to make crab legs. That's like that's my like celebration meal.
What kind?
So.
What kind of crab legs?
Just snow crab. I just go down to Chinatown and I get them. They're like $7.99 a pound, and they're just as good as Red Lobster.
Everything is seven. You know. But
that's big.
But Jess, I'd like to invite you out to the compound in my parents' place in Jersey.
In Hawaii?
Well, I'm going to be in Hawaii, but I have to see my parents. You know, it's TV people, it's radio people. It's just crazy. It's just it's hiatus stuff. No, anything you've learned? What should we expect in 2012? Don't we have a meatball shop? Is that our first big thing?
Absolutely.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah. We have meatball shop. Both of them, Michael and Daniel, are going to be coming in. And then I'm really excited. We have Abe Schoner, who is the winemaker for Scolium Project.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's going to be really exciting. That's going to be like towards the end of January.
And there's a ton of video content we're doing. So if great restaurateurs like Phil would open up their place for us to come in and do an interview, we're going to try to do some streaming content with The Morning After. So I'm really excited. But I say this every show, I just want to thank you for all your hard work. I know.
Thank you for your hard work.
Well, thank you. But we're going to take a break, and this is going to be a normal break here. We're not going to have anybody singing. We're going to do that at the end, as much as I love it. And we're going to come back with John Magazzino, who Phil knows.
I'm so
Christmas time, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, everything, unicorns, everything you believe in, the ring to rule them all.
I do believe in unicorns.
Whatever you, yes. Whatever you believe in. Aaron, thank you. Have a good holiday, everyone who's leaving the City Harvest. Thank you for your time. We'll talk. This is the morning after. This is our sort of Christmas, sort of very informal, but high-profile guest. I'm going to go into our next guest, John Magazzino. John.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, man? How's
How
it going?
Doing, Jason?
I have to just kind of introduce you a little bit, because if anyone walks into a specialty shop or into a restaurant and always sees this sort of weird product, specifically from Italy or something that you normally don't see, and you're like, where does this thing come from? Like, I've never seen this before. And somebody else will take credit for it. There's a specific person that has relationships with people, specifically in Europe. His name is John Magazzino. I've been working with this guy for about 6 years. He had a company. He'll talk about it in the interview. But John, you're essentially, you know, if you don't want to go to day-to-day operations, that's what you're good at, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just passionate about food, and I've spent the last close to 15 years just kind of traveling the world and finding great food products and bring them to great chefs and store owners that really love having high quality products.
And where are you working now currently?
Right now I'm at a great company, Baldor Specialty Foods, still based in the Bronx, where I've been for about 15 years. And
And the thing about Baldor, for people who aren't sort of, you know, tune in and are in industry, this is a company that is specifically kind of in the Northeast. They do some stuff down south, but any produce on a major scale with an artisanal edge to it comes from Baldor, and they do a lot of different things. And if you deal with companies every day, especially in the produce world, they're the top of their game. And John deals with the more fringe products and also the everyday stuff. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I'll deal with any. I always try to look for things that are best in their class. And Baldor, I mean, is a great story. Actually, came out of Balducci's, the famous retail store on Sixth Avenue, Manhattan. It started in the late '80s with a guy named Kevin Murphy.
Yeah.
It's a family-owned business. They really became known for the outstanding quality produce and some of the first people to bring in these, you know, Italian produce items and different greens and different mushrooms from France and all over the world. And they established this amazing reputation with the great restaurants and the great chefs, and the business just grew and grew and grew.
So a lot of the smaller producers, do they come to you, or you in your travels, do you find things and you just taste them and you're like, I have to start carrying this product?
You know, it happens two different ways. One of the ways it happens is a lot of the great chefs, the Michael Whites of the world, the Andrew Carmelanis, even, you know, David Chang, Daniel Boulud, they'll travel anywhere from California to France to Sweden to Hong Kong, and they'll come back to me and say, hey, John, I just had this product. You know, can you see if you can find it? And so that'll start a search for food products that way. And the other, you know, that's a lot of what we do. And then the other thing is, I'm lucky and fortunate enough at this point to be able to travel myself around the world. And, you know, I'll go visit a famous chef in Stockholm, Sweden, and I'll get turned on to looking for certain products that he's using there that are really in vogue, and travel all the way into, you know, north of the Arctic Circle sometimes to find them.
No, you bring up a good point about larger companies in terms of able to bring product to market with smaller producers. And everybody would always kind of like say bad things about companies that are larger and they don't have this quality. But, you know, on the other side of that, you can go to a small village in Italy and import a specific I don't know what the deal is, but that the pasta mancini. That stuff is outstanding, and I don't know where you guys are at, but that's one, like, the first thing I think of. That's like, you guys can sort of support, you know, entire villages and stuff.
Absolutely. I don't necessarily look, you know, we're not in the charity business. We love to work with small farmers. We love to work with small producers. There's a lot of small farmers and small producers whose product just, quite frankly, isn't great.
Yeah.
And so what we're always, you know, again, the eye is always on highest quality, best in class. And if it's a positive producer and they happen to be small and come from, you know, a little village in the Marque region and they're doing this great product, we want it. And we also want to make sure that, you know, because we do, you know, we're feeding New York City, that they grow responsibly when they start to grow their business, because it really can, like you just said, they can, you know, employ their entire village there. And that has some pros and cons. If they grow too rapidly, and I've seen this happen a lot...
they can lose it, and they don't have any product for you anymore.
Yeah, they can't have product, and the quality starts to decline too, which is, you know, unfortunate. So we got to make sure when we develop a partnership, and we love working with small people who have an eye on what they're doing, and maybe we'll dedicate the product to just one restaurant. We've done that plenty of times. And watch them grow in a really conscientious way and make sure the product quality doesn't fall apart as they get bigger.
Now, you just came aboard Baldor recently, and so I'm sure now, you know, it takes some time to get stuff to market. So in 2012, is there anything specifically that, you know, we should look out for that you've, you know, relationships that you've started since you started with Baldor?
Sure. I mean, a big focus, what I'm going to be doing in 2012 is, and this is more for the restaurants than the retail stores, but we're doing things like guided farmers market buying for the restaurants, which means, you know, it's really nice if you shop at the green market in Union Square or one of the other green markets in New York City or in the surrounding area. But if your restaurant isn't conveniently located to that spot,
Yeah. It's
tough to shop there. So I'm doing a project where I meet chefs from outside of the city or outside of a comfortable zone to get to the green market. They show up. They can take the train over. We'll shop the market. They'll get everything they need, and then we'll have a Baldor truck swing by and deliver it right to their restaurant. So that's a really nice thing. Other things we're working on outside of that are we've started a big wild mushroom program, which is worldwide now in its scope, and, you know, we're importing things from as far away as South Africa and beyond, and, you know, also working with people up in Vermont and Oregon and Washington. So those are a couple of biggies.
We spoke briefly, like 2 weeks ago, about possibly you calling in, you know, once every 2 weeks, just kind of give, you know, we have a lot. I guess the majority of listeners in the morning after are restaurant operators and individuals, and sometimes they forget, you know, kind of what's going on if they're not day to day purchasing. But you know, is that something you'd be interested in doing? Maybe call every other week and kind of give us.
I would love to give you the market updates and let you know what's going strong. We can even talk about that today a little bit if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, what's I know citrus is happening, but you know, yep. Briefly, give us a what's up.
Well, I mean, particularly for this week, because you got the holidays coming up. There's a big focus. We're getting towards the end of the fresh truffle season, but fresh white truffles are really banging right now. Black winter truffles actually started very strong this week. So, anybody who's looking to do anything very festive for Christmas or New Year's, obviously, that's going to be available. I got out of, you know, the focusing on caviar in the last couple of years.
Me too.
Baldor has a strong caviar program, and the reason I got out was because of what was happening to the wild population of sturgeon.
Yeah.
However, the stuff that's being farm-raised now is really getting to be a great quality. So, again, for New Year's Eve...
Wow, so you guys are counting cat. I didn't know that. That's one.
Yeah,
that's
so the farm-raised caviars are absolutely gorgeous. And then, like you just mentioned, citrus from Italy, citrus from California, really starting to hit its peak.
Cool.
And, yeah, those are a few of the things that we're focused on right now.
All right, so next time we'll talk is in January. So a couple of things. If you're a restaurateur and you're dealing with another company, you wanted to start a program with Baldor, just go to baldor.com, or is there a number they should call, or?
Yeah, I mean, they can always call us at 718-860-9100, or visit, you know, the website is baldorfood.com, B-A-L-D-O-R, food with no S, .com. And, yeah.
John, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it. I'm super proud about all the stuff you're doing over at Baldor. We'll talk in January.
Okay, I appreciate it, Jason. Thanks. It was really an honor to be on. We love the show, so.
Anytime, man.
Keep it up.
Phil's point. Phil's point at me. What's up, Phil?
Oh, I got to take off.
Oh, no, that's cool. No, yeah. We have like 2 more minutes, but Phil's going to leave.
Yeah.
Phil, thanks again.
Thank you so much. You have to eat at the restaurant, please.
We'll come there. We'll try to get there.
If you guys can stay here and drink for 2 hours and 12 minutes,
I will.
Come on over.
Yeah, it's possible.
I 100% will. Thanks, man. I appreciate your time. I'll see you. So we have Jenna Tara here.
Hello, Jason.
Oh yeah.
So we have a couple of minutes, and then we're gonna go out on your last song. But how did you go? What's up? How do you? You're a kid from Vermont.
I'm a kid from Kentucky.
And Kentucky.
We
grew up in the golden age of hip hop.
I grew up in the golden age of hip hop. I actually grew up in the golden age of MGM musicals. I didn't come to hip hop until my 20s. I'm a prodigal musician. But we work for the same restaurant group currently, which is the Highlands Restaurant Group. I work at a restaurant called Mary Queen of Scots, which is a Scotch-focused bar.
Yeah, I know it's so hot right now.
On the Lower East Side, and Pete works at Highlands, which is in the West Village.
Holla!
We met, though, working at a Southeast Asian restaurant called Beetle in the West Village.
Oh. Adam Woodfield, what up, man?
Adam Woodfield, how you doing?
Did they spell it Beetle, or actually
like Beetle? B-E-T-E-L, like the beetle leaf.
Okay.
Or the beetle nut.
That's weird.
I'm mostly an actor and a comic, and Pete's been doing the music thing for a while. I do other forms of music, but had definitely not made...
Go on.
Made rap a goal in my trajectory, but we met and talked and were joking around, and I had
just hit it off.
Yeah, we hit it off as friends. I mean, we're like brother and sister, and we started making music together.
Now, hit it off, is that a hip hop term?
Yeah, coin. Yeah,
yeah, it's a street a 90s term. It's a street term.
90s hip hop.
Because hit it off to me means something else. I'm sorry.
But, no, well, not
we
not
didn't.
Like that.
Oh, you're just friends.
That'd be incestuous. Cool. Yeah. No. We got the girlfriend in the room, and my girlfriend's in another room.
Yeah. We're all friends.
Trying to get some controversy here at the moment.
No, none of that. None of that. It's pretty G-rated.
No. So you guys. So that kind of, and then you decided. I mean, how long have you guys been producing music?
About a year.
About a music. Yeah. About
one music ago. We started music and a half.
I've been doing it for like about 26 years.
Yeah, Pete's been in the game. I've been in the performance game my whole life.
This girl can sing like crazy too. Her mom's an incredible singer,
which is good. You have a foundation of traditional music. You're not just kind of going out there, doing stuff. You have a foundation.
I definitely do. Jen does too, just from that, from her family, right? And but I went to School of Audio Engineering in New York, so I went to kind of hone my producing skills. I'm definitely first and foremost a producer before a rapper, but I was teaching kids how to rap when I was 16 years old.
Pete makes all the beats, so that's kind of a 50-50 situation. Typically, how we write is he'll bring me like an endless library of beats, and then
we'll just
build songs on top of them.
Pete, you remember Reverb? Did you remember that like old program? Or you doing stuff on GarageBand?
Oh,
remember that old program, Reverb?
We use Logic, baby.
I don't think so.
Logic.
Is that what you do?
I used Fruity Loops from the beginning. It was crazy. Yeah, Fruity Loops 3.14 was my jump off, and now I use Logic. Pretty much exclusively.
And do you write the... This is always a hip-hop thing. Do you write the beat first, or do you have the lyrics?
Well, right now, I actually usually come up with the beat either in my head, and I'll beatbox it, and then I have a keyboard that I have. It's a Yamaha Portasound, so I can beatbox into the microphone, and it automatically key maps what I do on the keyboard, so I can play it in different speeds, and I kind of start the beat now with a drum beat, and I get inspired from that, and I'll come up with chords. It'll either start with chords or a beat. Never really the words first.
All right, and you guys performing anywhere in the next next year or other than the morning after? Because I will have you back.
We're pretty excited. There's a couple things in the work right now. We've got we have separate projects that we're focused on right now. So Genitari's been on a bit of a hiatus, but Pianos has invited us back to do sort of
a
monthly joint.
Right,
yeah, so we're going to start a monthly party at Pianos, TBA. But you can go to genitari.com, which has our entire performance schedule on it.
Holla!
We're getting started back again in January, so we're going to hit it hard.
And feel free to call me and let me know any future projects and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, we're going to go into a song called Boom, Snap, Clap.
Ooh.
No, this one's... Dynamite? We did that before.
Oh, that was what you did before.
This one's called Hate Money.
Yeah. I hate... Oh, yes. Hate Money. Hold on. We're going to queue it up.
It's ironic.
We're going to queue it up here, and then we're going to go right into the end of the show and close out. But I wanted to thank everyone for a great 2011 Heritage Radio. Jack Inslee, Jesse Kiefer, Bennett Jaslik, Jason Colucci, love that guy, my parents, Albert, Phyllis Colucci, Nicole Colucci, all my big listeners, everyone for helping out in any way in 2011. We're going to go out here, and what a better way to go out is a hip-hop song. I love this stuff.
Let's do it.
My old job. Hold on, we're going to pull it up.
Chill.
Here we go, guys.
Love Christmas. Hey, money. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
1 second. Technical stuff here. We're going to plug in. Very. We got to push.
I have a Wordsworth recitation for the interlude. Just kidding.
Chill.
That's right. Ah.
This is a toy store exclusive.
Chill.
Hey. Hey.
Hey, money, how you playing? Love a high in the air with you playing.
Okay.
Nah.
Let's go.
I've been dreaming in my head, yeah. About the fire that's between us. The shit that you said. The signals on the board gone red. I'm tripping. Focus on my dreams instead. Who's dipping all the heat up in my treats? I'm gone, one player. Signals fire, now it's dire over there. I be the one who on the playgrounds don't share. Head in the class, gold on my neck, good hair.
Nice hair.
It's a chorus. Not playing.
With them.
I'm not easy anger. That she's
saying. Okay.
Dreaming in my head all
day.
One more time.
I hate
money, I ain't playing.
With them.
Playing. Okay. Can you hear what that she's saying?
Yeah.
Hey. Let's go. You want your money flow?
What?
Let me tell y'all here what I know.
What I know.
You pushing daddy's road. Hey. Got caught 2 times ago. It's comical word. But pull your pants up. It's a logical hurt. Like Bernie Madoff, it's impossible.
Don't do it.
To reverse the curse of what you done. I change again. Before your head gets money.
Don't spin your head. Shake them dreads. Hey, Tennessee, let's go.
I hate money, I ain't playing. I fly high in the air with them planes. Get in the wood that she's saying.
Okay.
I'm dreaming in my head all day.
Uh-huh.
I hate money, I ain't playing. Fly high in the air with them planes.
Just go.
Can't hear a word that she's saying. Been dreaming in my head all day.
Night and night.
That's what's up. Shout out, man, for us, too. Neighbors.
Next. See you next year, morning after.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.